Echolalia. The next day, back on Olympus, Hera had sent for the chaffinch that had first whispered to her of Zeus's infidelity.
"You lied to me," she shrieked. "You made me look a fool."
Hera grasped the bird by the beak so that he could hardly breathe, and was about to punish him in some strange and dreadful way that would forever have altered our conception of chaffinches, when his mate fluttered about her ears and hair, bravely calling out,
"But, dread queen, he told you true. I saw King Zeus there myself. Even as you were talking to that nymph, Echo, he was lying with a naiad not half a mile away. If you don't believe me, the butterflies and herons can tell you. Ask the priestesses at the Temple of Thespiae when he last visited them. He has not been there for 3 moons.
Hera relaxed her grip, and the bird, who had gone almost scarlet, breathed again. Male chaffinches sport pink breasts to this very day. Echo was paddling playfully in a stream when Hera and her peacock carriage descended once more. The nymph splashed and skipped her way up the riverbank to greet the goddess, a wide and welcoming grin splitting her perfectly dimpled features. The smile of welcome quickly turned to a rounded O of fear when she saw the look of rage on Hera's face.
"So," said the goddess with icy calm, "you say my husband has not been here. You say he was not here yesterday. You say he was in Thespiae sanctifying a temple?"
That's certainly my understanding,"
stammered a frightened Echo.
"You foolish, gossiping, chattering, scheming liar! How dare you try to deceive the Queen of Heaven? Who do you think you are?"
I...
For once in her life, Echo could think of nothing to say.
"Well may you stutter and stammer. You love the sound of your voice, don't you? Hear this."
Hera drew herself up and raised her arms high. Her eyes seemed to shine with a purple light. Echo quailed before the grandeur of the sight and wished the ground could swallow her up.
"I command your wicked, lying powers of speech to be still. From this moment you will be mute unless spoken to. You will have no power to reply except to repeat the last thing that has been said to you. None can undo this curse. Only I can. Understand?"
"I can understand," cried Echo.
"That's what happens when you disobey the gods."
"Obey the gods?"
"I do not forgive. No mercy."
"Give no mercy."
With a snort and sneer of triumph, Hera whisked herself away, leaving the unhappy nymph shivering in fear and frustration. No matter how much she tried to speak, no words would come. Her throat seemed to catch and tighten every time.
One of her sisters came upon her, wordlessly retching and spluttering.
"Hello, Echo. What are you doing?"
"What are you doing?" said Echo.
"I asked first."
"I asked first."
"No, I did. No, I did."
"Well, if you're going to be like that, go to hell. Go to hell,"
Echo cried after her, wild with misery.
One by one, all her friends and all her family shunned her. The curse inflicted upon one who had lived her life for gleeful gossip, who valued nothing above cheerful chatter, and who had derived all her pleasure from prattling repartee, was so terrible that Echo now wished for nothing more than to be left alone to welter in silent agony.